I want to offer an apology to someone who may be here or may not, hopefully not, or watching online in our webcast. You know who you are because you saw me yesterday in the Target parking lot. I'm just going to go ahead and confess the sin before it's on TV. Pull up the Target parking lot. I'm letting Paul and Paige out, and they're going to get in their vehicles. And I mean, I'm just stopped. I've been stopped, you know, 3 seconds. I'm thinking, okay, well, am I doing something wrong? I look around, and there's a car pulling out, backing out, and then there's a van behind me. A van. Did I say a van? And then, you know, I ignore the meh, meh, two more. Paul and him get out, meh, 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 meh. And something inside of me, the redneck took over. The godly side of me said, this woman's having a heart attack. She's asking for your help. I look back to see if it was a big, bad dude, and it wasn't. So something inside of me, have you ever done this? It's not an act of volition. Something put it up in park, got out and went back to have a conversation. And if you're a tither here at the gathering, I'm so sorry. The Holy Spirit took over. My sanctification kicked in. And I leaned forward. And as I was moving to her van, she rolled up her window. That was my first. I said, are you okay? Do you need some help? I'm not saying I said it that way, but I am saying that's what I said. And I'm thinking, this is typical of our society. We are so in an epic hurry to get out of Target parking lot that we will use our rah, to bully our way into submission. Now, you know, that's just what it is. Okay. It annoyed me. Okay. I'm sorry. I get annoyed. I'm sanctified. You know, I'm a better Christian than most of y'all. Some of the time. Probably not much. See, in America, we are fixated. We're not focused. We're fixated. We're like my little puppy. We got a little, you know, my little dog's named Harley. Polly got her for me for a couple of Christmases ago. She is awesome. She's a little Yorkie. I've never had a Yorkie. They are just spectacular little puppies. And she will play all day long. She will chase a ball until you drop. And then here's another thing about Harley. Harley will bring you something to play with. If you ignore her, she will sit 5 feet away and look at it literally for hours. Anybody have a Yorkie? I don't know if this is just her or what they do. She will look. She will fixate on it. And sometimes she'll go. But she won't move. Here's the thing. When you take that ball and replace it with something else, she'll fixate on that. She wants to play. She wants to chase something. She wants to move. And Harley is like a lot of people I know. They're not going anywhere, but man, they sure are working up a sweat. In America, we have become experts, not on it fixating on stuff, but on our own flaws. And rather than focusing on growing and become more like Christ, we fixate on our flaws. And then we invite experts into our lives to tell us how to manage our flaws. Instead of fixating, we need to focus. Fix our focus. We're in a series called Moo Out Loud, How to Stand Up and Be Heard Above the Herd. You are unique, create an image of God. It's important that you're here. You're here to do something, to contribute some, to say, to speak. Every person I've ever met wants to be heard. 87% of the people polled in America said, I would love to write a book. I meet people every day who like to write songs, who like to write poetry, who are creative. Why? Because you were created by the most creative genius in the universe. Of course you would be like Papa. Of course you would want to create. Of course you would want to be heard. But you're going to have to do something. Because in our culture, once you're born, we hijack your life and put it into bondage. And you're going to have to get out of jail. And so we talked about the five practices of creating your own brand. If I put it that way, maybe you'll think it's important, because you understand how important it is to create a brand like Coca-Cola, like Apple, like FedEx. You understand this is a process these people go through. And some of us are in desperate need of a new career, a new calling, a new job. We think we need a job, joyless obligation box. But what we need is to step back and say, God, what are you trying to do in me, with me, and through me? What did you have in mind when you created me? And he had something in mind. So we're going to free it. We want to free our mind. And we said, at that point, we have three declarations. I have a standing. If you are a follower of Jesus, you're not just a member of a club, you're a member of a family. Barbie's right. This is a family. The gathering is a family. This is why we love each other and serve each other and give and support each other. Amen. This is why what happens to Will happens to us. Amen. This is why all of you felt that, right? Because you understand it. He's our brother. Our brother's in here hurting, and he's serving while he's hurting. It inspires me. How about you? Paula told me, came in the office and said, you know, Will's here. His father. I knew his father was sick. We talked about it. And I'm just, man, that fires me up. See, we have this ability to live in such beautiful ways that the rest of us get encouraged, right? And when I see something like that, I don't call in sick, I crawl in sick. How about you? I have a calling, I have a standing, I have a calling, I have a ministry. Last week we talked about that every ministry needs a mission. You need a mission statement, a statement of who you are. My mission statement is to help people know God, love God, and live the life for which they were created. I understand. I obsess over that. I think about it constantly. I fix my focus on that mission. Free your mind. Take your stand. Fix your focus. This is the third practice. To focus, focus, focus in a world with broken focus. Let me explain what I mean by broken focus. We live in a culture of really shallow attention spans. Honk, 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 honk. I need to move. I need to get out of the Tarkin parking lot. The world is falling apart. I need to get out. Not really. I want it now is the battle cry of small minds and tiny lives. Now, what is God going to do in your now? He may begin, yay, but he won't end in your now. Here's another cry of our culture. You deserve a break today. Really? Have you seen this on advertisements, right? You deserve a brand new car for which you cannot pay. Because we'll give you payments. Praise Jesus. You deserve a trip to the Bahamas for which you cannot pay. Go away. Don't pay today. While we say, hey, why don't you just go stay? Pull out your plastic. It's elastic. See, Paula's laughing because I'm gifted. That's why I just break into. And because of this, I want it now. You deserve it thing. We jump from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. That's why if you serve here, if you make a commitment to be here to teach a kid and help them get to God or love a teenager or set up or take down or serve coffee or whatever, the thing is you will stick here. Here's what we know. No one will stay at the gathering over time who doesn't have a meaningful relationship and a meaningful responsibility. You'll just hop from church to church to church to thing to thing to thing. The people in our culture, you say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, we hop from mate to mate to mate, spouse, spouse to spouse, from job to job to job, from thing to thing to thing. And we wonder why our lives are meaningless. I put in here 2 Timothy 4:10. It's the cry of an abandoned soul. Paul, the great apostle, who turned the world upside down. Who would have thought that people would have mattered so much to him? But in his latter days, he was ready for martyrdom, and he was lonely, and it was the onset of winter, and he was asking for certain things. And he says, bring Timothy, and he said, bring the parchments. And then he says, Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life. People with short attention spans desert people. Some of you have been deserted by people you meant to count on. And you wonder, why did they do it? Because we have a very shallow attention span. Secondly, we live in a culture that is shot through and through with a quick fix mentality. Microwave me a solution. Email it to me. Download it to my brain. And if you're talking about fixing a refrigerator, okay. How many of you have ever said, oh God, fix me? Paula took me to see the new movie there called Joyful Noise. Great, man. I thought it was really great. And Queen Latifah sings a beautiful song in there, Fix Me. And it's gorgeous. It's just not true. God ain't going to fix you. He'll love you. He'll change you. He'll grow you up, but you're not a refrigerator. You're not a lawnmower blade. Huh? You're not a bad battery. You are a human being created in the image of God who he loves and who he cherishes. And he loves you too much to give you a fix. Isn't that what we call it? I mean, I don't know. When someone wants a shot of their addictive drug, I need a fix, right? Huh? And thirdly, we're driven to distraction. If you communicate, some of you communicate to me on Facebook, and that's fine. But you're going to wait for a response because I check Facebook about once a week. I just got other things to do. Now, I think Facebook's great. I don't think it's the end of the world like some people do. Twitter, follow me on Twitter. I Twitter about 3 or 4 days a week. But then I got other things to do. Amen. Some of you would do yourself a favor to turn off Facebook, turn off Twitter, turn off the TV, and turn off the chatter in your ear and start fixating and focusing your life on something that makes far more importance and a difference in your life. How about this? If anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of sea blown, tossed by the wind. Now, the inference here, at least what I infer into what James is saying, is that there is a space between the request for the wisdom and the wisdom. There's a space in here, right? God is not the drive-through window at McDonald's. Hello? So I can ask God for wisdom, and he gives it to me over time, not overnight. For some of us, if God doesn't fix it now, you know what, we're on to something else. But here's the warning. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Don't think that that person will receive anything from God. That's a stern warning to me. You see, when you face the day unsure of who you are, why you're here, and what you want, we're only left to fixate on the small, vulgar, and the petty. Anyone who fixates on their own flaws will soon grow tired and start fixating on yours. My mother, God rest her soul, was a political animal. I don't know why. I don't know where she got it from, and we never had that conversation. But I remember as a kid, one of my big childhood memories is going to a headquarters of like the governor And I remember that these headquarters, like they're going to elect a governor. You with me? Like a Democratic governor, of course. I mean, was mother's philosophy, Democrat and God, same thing. And so I remember sitting there in these old storefronts. It was cold. It was damp. And there was a lot of activity and a lot of conversation and a lot of enthusiasm. I remember that. Because they were on a mission. They were there to get something done, to get someone elected who they thought could make the world a better place. I remember that so vividly. They didn't care about the surroundings. They didn't care about the accoutrements, the comforts. They were there, do a thing, get out. Go do their deal. I thought that was cool. Church ought to be more like a political campaign headquarters, right? With a lot of noise and a lot of movement, a lot of fun, a lot of excitement, a lot of ideas, a lot of strategy, a lot of people talking and sharing ideas. Wouldn't that be cool? Of course, I'm not asking that we should live that way, of course, but just trying to fill the time. I never will forget, I read this several years ago of Robert Gazoida, who was for about 17 years the president of Coca-Cola Worldwide. He died of cancer, and 3 months before his death, he was asked to speak to the Chicago Executive Club, and this is how he opened that talk. 1 billion hours ago, life began on the earth. 1 billion minutes ago, Christianity appeared on the world scene. 1 billion seconds ago, the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. 1 billion Coca-Colas ago was yesterday morning. Right now, my consuming obsession is how to make 1 billion Coca-Colas ago this morning. This is a guy 3 months, 90 days away from death. And this was his vision. You may not like it, but I admire it, even if it's over sugar water. I think this is why we like sports. I really do. Because we admire people who are insanely, obsessively committed to one thing. Against all odds, they do their thing. We look at these athletes don't we not live in a great town? Full of creative people, full of artists, a lot of country music people who some of us never understand how they ever got to be famous. Life has to be nothing but random, a throw of the dice, right? That's how some of us think, right? But we look at these folks, we look at their dedication, we look at how obsessive they are, and we admire them, but here's what we really believe in our minds, that we could never be one of the beautiful people, because we just don't have the gifts they have, and I would say, liar, liar, pants on fire. You do have more gifts than you've ever recognized. Let me tell you what some of them are. God has given you the gift of creative neglect. Ever walk down, you remember back when we had bookstores? Back in the dark ages? Have you ever walked down the magazine rack and just kind of go into apoplexy? You know, you get all nervous because here's this book to me. You know what? I'm not bragging, but I walked down the magazine rack of many a bookstore and never, ever one time been tempted to pick up a golf magazine. Golf, a good walk spoil. I walked down and I've never been tempted to pick up a quilting magazine. Never once. But there are some people who love it. And yay, God for you. I love quilts. I just don't love quilts. Right? You say, well, I like golf. Okay, fine. I don't. There are certain things in this world I feel absolutely no compulsion to like or be involved in. And if you do, yay, God for you. He's given each one of us the capacity to just focus some things out of our lives and then focus other things into our lives. Amen? Isn't that cool? I mean, when you wake up one day and are okay with not liking motorcycles, I don't know why you would think that way, but it's okay if you don't. Amen. It's okay if you don't like sailing. It's okay with a lot of things that you don't like. What is your obsessive, passionate thing? Your focus is on that thing. God has given you the ability that all things, everything else kind of falls away. There's also the gift of curiosity. I said this last week, but we were born with a gift of curiosity. If you don't think that's true, give your kid an iPad or an iPhone or some smartphone with a touchscreen and watch them go. There are some 7-year-olds who can use these electronic devices in a superior way to 30-year-olds. Why? Because we're curious. This is a gift. Why? 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 And does it make you nervous? You want to just bite a nail in two? Why? Listen to this. Jeremiah 9. This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord. I demonstrate unfailing love, and I bring justice and righteousness to the earth, and I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. Wow. God says, if you want to obsess over something, obsess over knowing and understanding me. Let me tell you why there's so much bad preaching in America. Is because all of us, including me, are talking about stuff we don't understand. We sound like we do, don't we? That's our gift, I guess. I talk about God. I've talked about God every week of my adult life. Do you think I understand everything there is to know about God? Of course I do not. But I know enough to talk about God, right? I don't understand a lot of that. I don't know a lot about, but I understand enough. There's a big gap between what I know and what I'm going to know and what I want to know and how I savor. And I want to tell you, every day I live and every step I take deeper into God, the more I like it, the more obsessed, the more passionate, the more fired up I am. Not the least. Are there things about God I don't know? I don't know. You know, Paul and I watched a movie. I'm a big Liam Neeson fan. You may or may not be, but I like his stuff. And so on the basis of that alone, Paul and I this week watched The Gray. What an awful movie. Now, if you want to watch it, you go for it. You may love it. Now, again, that's the great thing about it, is we all have different tastes. But this movie is what I would call the preaching of our civil gospel. It is a preaching movie. Don't anybody tell you different. It is preaching despair, despondency. There is no God. And if there is a God, he could care less. We all live in a random, despondent, and we all are going to die a horrible death where big wolves in a snow-covered land rip our guts out. Woo! Praise Jesus! I'm sitting here watching this movie, and I'm thinking, can you imagine given the pitch to raise the money to make this movie? Okay, now, it's going to be some guys who are going to be in Alaska. They all hate each other. They're all criminals. They can't live in real America because of the scum of the earth and nobody life. They're up there, and they're going to fly back. They're going to come down. They're going to die. They're going to eat each other and all die. It's awesome. And they're all the way through the movie, they're going to talk about God and how he's let them down. Well, praise the Lord. But here is, using my spiritual gift of discernment, I want to offer you this. This is what I left a movie thinking. If you ignore God all but the last day of your life, I'm not really sure you should expect God to show up. Now, some of you, well, yeah, but what about the thief on the cross? Yes, but there's only one of those stories in the Bible. Here is the truth, honest truth. I have spent a lot of my adult life around death. And here's what I've found. You would think when someone knows they're dying, I mean, they're within hours of the finish line, they would become more spiritual. And I'm here to tell you, in God's name, they don't. They become more entrenched in their anger and their bitterness. And it is one of the most difficult environments to ever occupy I've ever been in. I've seen it. It is like, it literally is like needles sticking in you, trying to navigate that. This is from a guy who's been there. I've seen people die in almost every possible way. And I'm telling you that to love God, to press into God right now while you can, to let God thrill you with how big He is while you can, while you're sane and while you can think and while you can move, while you have volition, while you can make choices, is not only a good thing, it is a compulsory thing if you want to live. Seriously, the gift of curiosity, the gift of desire. God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely, infinitely. Buzz Lightyear, right? Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Michelangelo said this, the greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it. I'm telling you, your problem is not that you want too much, it's that you want too little. That you live in a life of Fridays and payment books. That you see yourself as an orphan in this world. Come from nothing, deserve nothing, and going to nothing. And I'm telling you, that is a lie. You are created by the most creative creator, the most loving, generous, gracious being in all of the world. You are created out of love, and He's calling you to Himself in love. Why would you resist that? Sorry. The gift of desire. Aren't you glad that being a Christian doesn't mean that you have to lop off your dreams? Want a little bitty life, just a little bit of God. You know, God, just pay my bills. Just get me through. Oh, Lord, please help my children get that student loan. Go to the state school so they can get out and get a job. And spend the rest of their lives paying it off. Praise the Lord. Shut up. There's got to be more than that, don't you think? The gift of desire, the gift of seeing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right and pure and lovely and admirable. This is out of the scripture. I'm not making this stuff up. Think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received in me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. When you put it into practice. Some of you, let's be honest, you come here, you get fired up, you get stirred up, you get the CD, you take it, you pop it in, and about Tuesday afternoon, you're over it. For some of you, you'll be over it in the morning. You'll show up in the Monday now and get back in the same old rut, in the same old way, the same old thinking, right? Come on. Because you're scared to death that stuff might be true and it might call you to a place you've never been, and God forbid that you ever take a risk. Now that you got yours. It's moldy and crusty, but it's yours. Amen. But God created you to see. Why would God give you the ability to be curious, the ability to desire, and the ability to see things if He never intended for you to go for them and Him to join you in that and to achieve them? I've seen God do great things all of my life. Now, I'm ordained and I'm special, and y'all aren't. So, you know, I keep reminding myself. I love the nervous laughter. Is he kidding? No, I'm not kidding. That's called irony. I'm being ironic. I'm trying to tell you that, you know what? God has something for you, and you don't have to be a TV preacher into the prosperity gospel to believe that's true. There's also the gift of knowing. Let me go back to the gift of curiosity. There are so much things about God I don't know, and I'm okay with that. It's called mystery. But there are things I know about God. You, not you, not anyone else is ever going to change, dude. Because I have worked them into my soul. I've lived them. I've been there in the crisis. I've been there in the hard times. I've been there where I felt like God was a million miles away. And he was always right there comforting and blessing and helping. And saying, you can go this far but no further. This is my son. Yeah, you can smack him. You can beat him up. And I'll use that. But you no further. I have had God's hedge of protection. And guess what? So do you. You say, well, I've never felt it. You know why? Because you've never lived in dangerous enough territory to feel the difference. There's a knowing, for I know the plans you have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And if you take this truth and look at your life as a snapshot, it would be a lie. But if you look at it as a movie and as a drama with different plays and different movements, it is always true. That's why a quick fix, easy, get it now won't work with God, because God is in your life for the long haul. Hello? Or some things we know. We know that God has called us. We know that we have a standing. We know that we have a calling. We know that our lives are not random. I don't care how many movies they shove down our throats and how many books they put on the market. Something inside of me says, I'm important. I was created. I'm here for a purpose. Somebody knows me. Somebody cares. There's a reason for this. And the reason you feel that is because it's hotwired in your DNA and you need to go with it and lean into it and embrace it. Throw off all the religion and all the lies you've been told. God is good. Jesus Christ is real. He is a resurrected Lord. He is ruling and reigning and one day will come back to this place and set it all right. This is truth you're hearing. This is a knowing that we have. We know that God is working out his plan. Mark Twain, that great theologian, said, I can teach anybody how to get what they want out of life. The problem is finding somebody who knows what they want. Amen? If the railroads at a certain time in the past realized they were in the transportation business rather than the railroad business, they might have invested in airplane stock. Had the telegraph people at a certain point in the past, realized they were in the communications business, not the telegraph business, they would have taken the offer that they received in 1886 to buy all of the telephone patents that existed for $40,000. No, thank you. On and on and on we could go. There's a gift of must. What must you do? I love what Paul said. Though he slay me, what Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. That's a must. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. There's this woe, this must. Do you have ingrained in you this focus, this thing, this vision of a life that you must achieve and pursue? I love this. This is out of the Amplified, the AMP there. I think it's in your outline. It's the Amplified Bible. If you quote this verse in the King James or NIV or almost any other translation, it's depressing. Have you ever heard this verse? Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be open. Have you ever asked and gotten nothing? Have you ever sought and just got more confused? Have you ever knocked on the door and somebody puts more padlocks on it? And you say, God, what's the deal? It's because in the English language, something important is lost, and the Amplified pulls it back out, and that's the tense of the verbs, or the action of the verbs. That's what it says. This is how it should be translated. Keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. He who keeps on seeking finds. To him who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. At some point, I just wonder if God says, I want to see who wants it most. You say, well, I thought God's love was unearned and unmerited. Yeah, but we're way beyond that, right? We're not talking about how to get his love. We're talking about how to live the life for which you were created. The one you know, the one, the moo inside of you that know, you know has got to get out. God says, if you really got to have it, I mean, there are people, one of the reasons, again, living in this town, there are crazy people who live in this city. Absolutely crazy people. Crazy. Did I say crazy? Crazy. There are people who live their lives in little cubicles and offices down on Music Row and write music. Nobody is, they have no assurance anybody's ever going to hear. I think some of those crazy people need to rub off on the rest of us. But what we do is we see these crazy people who write music and make music and write and do this creative thing, and we look at them with disdain. You know why? Because you can't figure them out. You can't discourage them. You can't put them in a pigeonhole. I dare you, when you're in a restaurant today eating your lunch in the name of Jesus, just ask the waiter or waitress what they do. I guarantee you at least one of them will say, I'm a songwriter. And something inside of you will try your best to help them see the error of their ways. But you know what? They have navigated people like you before. And just go. And bring you your salad. Amen? Amen? God's got a smile when that happens. Let me say to you this in the name of Jesus. I got to close. Don't let anybody but God tell you who you are and what you can do. Amen? Amen? Amen. Can I hear a moo? Moo? Father, I pray in Jesus' name. I know you got to laugh when we moo. And I know it brings you pleasure. Father, I pray that you will set us free. That you'll allow us to take our stand and fix our focus to the glory of God. I pray for someone today who's come in here under a wet blanket of discouragement, who feels despondent. I pray that you would give them something this week, something in their life, a sign, a thing, a person, a meeting, an email, a text, a quote, a blog, a tweet, something that lets them know that you know and you're on the job and that you're smiling and breakthrough is ahead, not to give up, not to cool down, not to go to sleep, not ever, ever, ever to quit in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.